Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things.
It don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We are just so happy that you could join us tonight for another broadcast of Kingdom of God Ministries. I want to just thank my husband, Brother Bobby. He's on the line. And are you there, Pastor Bobby? Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, I can hear you.
All right. All right. We just wanted to open up with prayer, and then I'll give a few announcements, and then we could go directly into the Word of God. Tonight we will be teaching on what is happening in the church. Father God, we just want to thank you tonight. We thank you for your many wonderful blessings. We thank you, Lord, that you love us so much that you gave your only begotten Son, and that we would have a right to eternal life if we just believe on you. Lord God, we thank you that you've been with us throughout the week, that you get put protection around our homes, our families. You've given us provision. Lord God, there is no lack in your kingdom. Lord God, we thank you that you have provided for our every need, even in the ministry. Lord God, we thank you that you are sending people to the ministry, people that want to hear truth, people that want to be sold out for you, people that are sick or compromised. Lord God, we just thank you. We just praise your holy name because it's about you, Lord God. It's not about our own agenda, but it's about bringing people into the kingdom of God. Lord God, as we bring forth the word tonight, we ask that you touch us. Lord God, be in us. Let your Holy Spirit move in us. Speak only what you would have us to speak, to be edification, Lord God, to your body, to bring deliverance, to bring hope, to bring salvation, Lord God, to your people. And Lord God, we just lift up our listening audience. We ask that you touch them. Any individual needs, Lord God, let your Holy Spirit go to that person right now. And Lord God, we ask that you touch them and break every yoke, every bondage over their life. And we just thank you for your holy anointing and your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And we just thank the Lord that you tuned in again tonight. A lot of times I usually try to send out an email to let our listeners know that we will be on the air, but pretty much I think the followers that we have, we will, you know, if you know, sometimes we do take a break not to be on Friday, but pretty much we're on every Friday at 8 o'clock, and we would appreciate it if you would just let others know that Kingdom of God Ministries is live on the air every Friday, Lord willing, at 8 o'clock, bringing the Word of God. You can also join us. We meet every Sunday at 9550 Bells Ferry Road. That's in Canton, Georgia, right outside of Atlanta. And if you happen to be in the Atlanta area, drop by and visit us. I tell you, God is really moving over there at the center. We have had marriages restored, people being healed of infirmities. God is just moving, people getting delivered from demon possession. It's just been awesome to see the move of God going forth. People having where the devil had come in and wrecked their homes, God has restored their marriages, their families, their children. I mean, God is just awesome. He's moving by his power. So, like I said, if you're in the kingdom, if you're in Bells Ferry over in the Canton area, please drop in and join us. And if you want to check us out on the web, you can do so at www.kogm.net. Send us an email. Let us know that you're enjoying the program, because a lot of times we need to hear from you. And if you listen to the program and you're being blessed, just let us know. Just a quick email. I enjoyed the program. Amen. Amen. So let's get into our program. And tonight, like I said, we're going to be talking on what is happening in the church. And we said it with an emergency, like it's something going on that needs to have some attention brought to it. We are coming out of the book of Titus tonight, and then, you know, Brother Bob, he will be teaching on the emerging church and a lot of things that is currently going on in the church. But I wanted to just give you an overview of the book of Titus. And I know many of you scholars have read the book of Titus, so you say, well, we don't need this. But this is pertinent to our subject tonight. Titus also seems to have been present with Paul during a portion of Paul's second imprisonment in Rome before Paul sent him to the Roman province of Dalmatia on the eastern shore of the Adriatic Sea across from Italy. Now, the date of the letter to Thomas, A.D., around A.D. 63, it was written about the same time Paul wrote his first letter to Timothy. And you can go and see the historical background on there. But I wanted to go on to tell you what was the purpose of the letter to Titus. It was to encourage Titus to complete the difficult ministerial work that still needed to be done in Crete. And that's Titus 1 and 5. I'm not going to read every one of the book of Titus, but we're just going to go through it. Number 2, it was to put in writing the verbal instructions Paul had given Titus before leaving the island. That's Titus 1 and 5. To give Titus work in the church of Crete, Paul's apostolic authority, Titus 1, 1 through 3, Paul's closing this letter with the benediction, grace with be with you all, indicates Paul intended the contents of the letter to be read and heard by all Christians on Crete. Now you say, well, that was in the old, that was later on. This is not respond. This is not in accordance to the church today. Yes, it is. And this is why we're bringing out this particular script, these particular scriptures. The theme of the letter to Titus completes the ministerial work that must still be done on Crete, in Crete back then, and let me bring it, and to the modern church today, or to the church age today. God has appointed ministers, teachers, preachers, who is going to stand up and proclaim the gospel truth. Okay, this is kind of what we're talking about tonight. It was a greeting to Titus from Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Christ, Titus 1 and 3, for the faith of God's elect, Titus 1 and 1, for the knowledge of truth that leads to godliness, Titus 1 and 1, a faith and knowledge that rests on the sure hope of eternal life according to God's promise. Now, this is straight Bible. This is what the Bible said, eternal life according to God's promise, not what man is telling people. And there's a lot of man doctrine going on in the church today. Okay, to Titus, Paul's true son in the common faith, that's 1 and 4. And then it says, Paul charges Titus to appoint qualified pastors in every town in which they had established a congregation. Paul lists the qualifications for pastoral ministry, and that's over here, 1 Titus 6 and 9. Let's read that. It says, if a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money. We feel out of that. But hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort, to convict those who contradict. Okay? So we see, like we were saying some Fridays ago, a lot of these self-appointed men, they wouldn't fit the criteria of a bishop. Okay, so that's why we said sometimes they self-appointed, not God-appointed. So we have to know when a person is going by the mandate of what the Bible is saying. It says qualified pastors are needed because on Crete there were many rebellious talkers and deceivers, especially those who are converted Jews who continued insisting the rite of circumcision must be done according to the law of Moses. That's in Titus 1 and 10. It says, Paul charges Titus to silence those rebellious talkers and deceivers. Let's look at that. 1 Titus 1, 11 and 13. It says, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, even beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Okay, so that is where we come in at. And a lot of times nowadays, a lot of these false preachers don't want you to say anything about them when they're in negative or act behavior is wrong, not according to the scripture. They'll tell you you're judging them. They'll tell people that you're a liar. But all you need to do is compare their lavish lifestyles with what the word says. You can't hardly cut on the television. God knows I'm telling the truth. Without them talking about money, where your heart is, that's where your riches are. That's all they talking about. I mean, you got all this stuff going on in the world. You got murders. You got gang violence. You got parents killing their children, and all you can do, you're telling me, is all you can do is talk about sow a seed? What is going on in the church? Isn't life more than meat and raiment? We need to be teaching people how to get set free by the power of God, how to live a godly life, how to be sanctified, set apart for godly use.
Amen.
But yet all the church, these greedy, he called them greedy. He said they go into households, subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not. Amen? And excuse this coughing. Sometimes it just coughs. He said, now Paul told them to silence those rebellious talkers and deceivers. Now, they would tell you, oh, they just talking, you know, because we got the big church and we got the 2-3 Lear jets. They're nothing because they some little side preacher. But you know what? And I'll say this, and I hope some of you is listening. If you caught up in this ill-gotten gain and all you talk, you greedy off the money, you listen to me. I'd rather teach one or two people the truth than teach thousands the ungodly truth and teaching them a false doctrine that will ultimately lead them to hell. You hear me out, because there's too much of this going on in the church. Yeah, you got the money. You can get airtime. You can be up there and you can have 20, 30,000 people in your congregation. Why are you teaching them this garbage? Live your best years now. And then when the people don't get the stuff that you're telling them they can get, they fall away from God. You're a liar. And you need to stop teaching lies. Let's go on. He said they must be silenced because they are upsetting the faith of whole households with their errors that they teach for their own dishonest gain. Okay, let's turn over here to Matthew 23, and I'm just going, and then I'll be out the way in a few minutes. Matthew 23, let's see what Jesus said about that, because we see a lot of this is going on in the church. It sickens you. You can't even cut on TV and get a good gospel program because it's so infiltrated with a lot of garbage. Then it's infiltrated in the music, the gospel music. They doing everything. They look just like the world, pants sagging, hanging. What's wrong with that? You can't tell the church from the world. The women up there, they got pants so skin tight, look like somebody sold it on them. That's not godly. Matthew 23, and I like to look nice, okay? But he said, let the women be modest. We don't see a lot of modesty in the churches now. Matthew 23:14. Okay, 23:14, it says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, therefore you will receive greater condemnation. That's what Jesus said about it. Okay, and if you go over here to 2 Timothy, I'm just going through and showing you how Jesus talked about them, because he didn't think too much about them because they were deceiving people. 2 Timothy 3:6, it says, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay? And then 1 Timothy 6:5, it says this. And this is out of the Bible. And I would ask any of them, you come to me telling me that I am not telling the truth, I will take you to the Word of God. Because what you're teaching, it don't stand up to the Word of God. It's a bunch of garbage. 1 Timothy 6:5, it says, unless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain, from such withdraw yourself. But yet people is running to them. All they do is teach this garbage, and the people, the churches is packed. They love it. They love the garbage. Lie to us. We know you're lying, but it sounds good. You put on a good show. We love that entertainment. Yeah, lie to us some more. We know you're taking us to the cleaners. We know you're taking our money, but we love to lie. Let's go on. He say they must be silenced because they are surely liars, evil brutes, and lazy and glutton. The reason they tell you to, and I'm not saying I'm not against giving. God knows we need people to give. Sometimes, you know, my husband and I, we take out our own budget just so we could push the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that's okay, because God, he takes care of us. It's okay. But when they telling you bring the tithe to them so they can go out and live these lavish lifestyles, what he said, they are lazy. They don't want to work. So you go to work for them. They pushing you out there to go and drive hours a day so you can bring the tithe to them. For this reason, Paul charges Titus to rebuke them sharply so they will be sound in the faith. This is what we're doing tonight. As men and women of God, we are boldly rebuking you openly. And hopefully, if you hear this by chance, if you're not too full of pride, you're not too haughty, I hope to God you humble yourself and you stop preaching this garbage, because it has to stop. So they will pay no attention to he said, rebuke them so they won't be paying attention to the Jewish myth and the commandments of men who have rejected the truth of God's word and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's look at that's 1 Titus 1:14. It says, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth, because they are corrupted unbelievers who claim to know God but have denied him, and who are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. That's Titus 1:15-16. Let's read that. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. So you see, I just gave you an outline of the first chapter of Titus, and this is what Paul was teaching back then. And he had told Titus to continue to teach it. I'm going to leave here, but you continue to teach the word of God in boldness and in truth so that the word, the gospel, will not be perverted. Amen? So at that, I'm going to bring this to a close. I enjoyed being with you. And like I said, if you enjoyed the message, you shoot us an email. But at this time, we want to thank you, and I will turn this part over to Pastor Bobby. Be blessed. Amen.
Amen and amen. And we want to thank God for that word. It was truly anointed and blessed. And what we're talking about, what's happening in the church today? Well, we're going to get into what's happening in church today. And basically, what's happening in the church today is that deception and delusion has crept in under the wire, even using the word of God to do it. The emerging church, postmodernism, those are the things that have crept into the church. That is why many times the church is not as high in the anointing that they should have. Why? Because they have tried to mix the world into the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it doesn't work. You cannot mix oil and water. It will not mix. Oil will not mix with water. You cannot make it work. I don't care how you shake it, you can't make it work. You can't mix the oil of the gospel, the anointing of Jesus Christ, with a false anointing. It won't mix. It won't mix. It will not mix. Now, in reference to that, let's talk about this postmodernism, and let's talk about the emerging church. So what is that? Okay, let's give a little concept, and let's talk about some of the people who brought that in. Let's say the concept of the emerging church is advertised worldwide in books, it's on the web, television, likes of Brian McLaren, Leonard Sweet, Richard Foster, Dan Kimball, Rick Warren, Ken Blanchard, and a whole host of others, they seek a modernistic mindset using Diaprex to achieve its goal. Now, the Hegelian dialect is used in concept with process known as Diaprex. Now, what Diaprex is, it basically is carnality. That's what Diaprex means. That's what it is. It's carnality. Man's nature, man's thoughts, man's sensualities, a man's feelings, all of this. It has not to do with God. It has to do with man's mindset, man's thinking, carnal thinking, lust of the world, lust of the eye, those kinds of things. That's Diaprex. Now, they use that to brainwash a whole generation, creating a new hybrid Christianity. It's full of Eastern mysticism and Gnosticism. Gnosticism goes right back to Diaprex, carnal, man's nature, man's thinking, how you would say a secret knowledge, some stuff like things of that nature. They come up with things like, well, Jesus was married to Mary and had kids and all this kind of stuff. Gnosticism. Carnal thing, trying to bring Jesus Christ down to man's level and taking the divinity from Christ Jesus, bringing him down to our level and pushing that. It says they're systematically redefining the teachings of Jesus Christ, what I just said. The apostles and prophets within a subjectivist, existentialist worldview. Now, that's the emerging church in the short. I'll say it in that way. Now, we're talking about postmodernism, which is also tied with the emerging church. Now, what is that? Wow. Well, in the simplest terms, you can say that postmodernism is defined as the love of unbelief. In other words, when it comes to the Word of God, the truth of the teachings of God, the straight teachings of Jesus Christ and the apostles, the bylaws and the anointing, and the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth of the Word of God, they don't want to believe in that. They want to twist that to man's belief and to man's interpretation of the gospel, to man's thoughts and processes of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't want to accept it as the scripture has laid it out, as the apostles and the prophets has laid it out, as Jesus Christ has laid it out. They don't want to accept it that way. They want to twist it to their own liking so that they can live the way they want to live and use the Word of God to do it. Now, that's the short of postmodernism. But I'm going to get into it a little bit more because it is a deception and it is a delusion and it's not of God. And it's destroying a whole lot of people and it's causing people to lose faith in Jesus Christ, because when you try to put your own doctrine, a man's doctrine, when you replace the Word of God with man's doctrine, guess what? Somebody is going to be disillusioned. Somebody is going to be hurt. Somebody is going to fail because man don't know. Man doesn't have the answers to everything, but God and Christ does. So when you preach the Word of God straight, unadulterated, people will be set free. People will be healed. People will be saved. They will be delivered from the snares and the traps and the chains of the evil one. But let's talk about this postmodernism a little more. Now, one thing we can say, that it is really opposed to the truth. Now, in John 18:38, Pilate said to Jesus, "Say, what is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, "I find no fault at all. I find in him no fault at all. Pilate was talking about Jesus. Pilate said he couldn't find any lies in Christ Jesus. He found no fault in Christ Jesus. Nothing at all. Said, what is truth? Truth is Christ Jesus. So Pilate admitted right there. Now, he said what is true, but the truth was standing right in front of him, Jesus Christ. He said he couldn't find no fault in him. You can't find fault in the Word of God. I say, well, some people might say, well, the Word of God contradicts himself. No, it doesn't. You just need to read it and do it scripture by scripture in proper context. It always backs up itself. The Word of God says that the Word of God never goes out and come back void. It's going to always accomplish what it was sent to do. It's going to manifest itself. The Word of God is more real than me talking right now. It's more real than you sitting listening to me. The Word of God is that real. There's no falseness in God's Word. Now, it can talk about folks that lie. It can talk about folks that cheat and steal and rob, but the Word of God is truth. Jesus Christ is truth. And if you notice, when Jesus Christ was walking the earth, he blasted some people for their wrongdoing, but he didn't lie. He was incapable of lying. But that's what a lot of these people, these emergent church folks, postmodernistic people try to do, is try to bring God down to our level. And if you bring God and Christ down to our level, then he can lie and do all kinds of evil things. But he can't, because Jesus Christ is the Word of God incarnate, sent by God to save our souls. And not only did he save our souls by going and dying up on the cross, being buried and resurrected on the third day, and that we might have a right to eternal life. After he went back to heaven, sitting on the right hand of the Father, he sent the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, to empower us, to follow him and get the revelation of his word and live a life, and speak the things that is conducive to Christ Jesus. Let me get into a little bit of this postmodernism. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It says the development of modernism from Greek philosophy to the Enlightenment. Okay, here's something else. Human reason, aided by scientific exploration, the basis for absolute truth. You see, the basis for absolute truth is not in the Word of God or not in Christ Jesus. It's in human reasoning and scientific exploration. Now, I truly have nothing against scientific exploration, because many times when the scientists discover things, they're always discovering things that's in correlation with the Word of God. Okay? But human reasoning would separate that from the Word of God or from the things of God. Darwinism and the denial of a creator God. World wars and ruthless dictatorships. Postmodernism born out of delusionment, as modernism holds no real answers. Then it goes into, relativism or pluralism, consumerism, and political correctness. Now, do you see that going on in the church? In many congregations, do you see that? You live a life that's relative to you. You got to have the best of everything. And nothing is wrong with that, but when you put consumerism over your relationship with God and over your salvation, you need to watch it. You don't have to have the best of everything. If that stuff is going to separate you from God and Christ, if it's going to hinder your salvation, if it's going to hinder your work and walk with God, you need to let some of that stuff go. Let it go. Don't buy the lies. It's a whole lot of rich and wealthy people that's miserable. Now, there's some that's not. But it's a lot of them that's miserable and on their way to hell with this consumerism because they got to have it all and they got to get it regardless. They don't care who they hurt, who they destroy. You shouldn't be like that. The body of Christ shouldn't be like that. It's not about the dollar. It's about Jesus Christ. It's not about how much money you can get. It's about how many people you lead to Christ. It's how many people you cause to get set free, healed, delivered, and saved, filled with the Spirit, and doing what God would have them to do. Political correctness. What is that? That shouldn't be even be in the mouth of a preacher. How are you going to be political correct and politics is going with what is wrong? You can't be politically correct. You have to tell the truth. You have to be Jesus correct. You have to be God correct. You have to be Holy Ghost filled correct. You need to be biblically correct. That's the kind of correct you need to be, but you don't need to be politically correct. Because to be politically correct means you go along with whatever society says, whatever society thinks is right, whatever society says is right, then you're politically correct. You cannot speak out on anything because you got to be politically correct. You're not a politician. You're a preacher. You're a believer in Christ Jesus. You're a saint. You've been saved and set free by the blood of the Lamb. What you talking about politically correct? What you talking about consumerism? What's relativism to you or pluralism? What is that? No, your relativity should be in Christ Jesus, should be in the Word of God. And this is all under postmodernism. Now, let me bring out some more things. Now, this is something that Dr. C. Matthew brought out. Dr. C. Matthew Mahone brought out. He says, postmodernism does this, redefines and reinterprets orthodox ideas to fit new categories of thought and removes objective truth and absolute standards. You hear that? Removes objective truth and absolute standards. In other words, you know, they're not going to deal with the truth of God's word, and they have no absolutes. So in other words, they can go whichever way the wind blow. Whatever sounds good to them, if they can put a little word in there, twist that thing a little bit, and make it sound good to you, and you can still live any way you want to live and still call yourself a Christian, which is Christ-like one, then it's okay. Now, check this out. Now, for the postmodern theologian, it says all Christian beliefs will come to be regarded as seriously out of line with modern cultural norms. Most of the time, Christian beliefs are completely redefined or orthodox beliefs abandoned as liberal theologians reinterpret them. In other words, they're reinterpreting the Word of God according to their likes and dislikes. Not according to the Word of God, according to their likes and dislikes, according to their greed, according to their avarice, according to whatever they can get out of you. That's how they twist that word. So if it's beneficial to them to twist the word, they'll twist the word. And then at the same time they're twisting the word, they're going to try to put condemnation on you so that you can follow the word that they twisted. So it's not really the true word of God. It's not really the true word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because it's not based on your salvation. It's based on what they can get. It's based on their interpretation of the word. It's based on their carnality and their nature in reference to what the word is meaning. So they twist it. Listen to this here. Postmodern liberalism places an immense weight on the notion of universal human religious experience and denies absolute truth, as well as the objectivity of truth. It emphasizes transient cultural relationships. It surrenders Christian theology at the expense of changing times or the need for a new and fresh redefining of terms. Postmodernism has come to be known as a cultural sensibility. Without absolutes, fixed certainties, or foundation, it delights in pluralism and divergence and thinks in terms of situational ethics. You know what situational ethics is, don't you? Oh, it's whatever the situation is determines if it's right or wrong. That's what that means. Depending on what the situation is will determine if it's right or wrong. That's what that is. Because there's no absolutes, there's no fixed certainties, there's no foundation in the Word of God. It's cultural sensibility, or, you know, whatever. Whatever goes, it's situational. You know, if it's going to benefit you to steal and lie, if the situation says it's a benefit for you to steal and lie and hurt people, then it's right. Because you're not basing anything on the Word of God. You're basing your whole life on these lies that these people teach and preach, twisting and void of the Word of God. Jesus spoke all against that when he walked the earth. He told his disciples, don't follow those false teachers. You flee false prophets. You flee people who tell lies. If you catch them in a lie and you can't do nothing about it, you need to leave there. Oh, yeah, they're gonna talk about you. They're going to dog you out. They're going to ostracize you. They're going to say that you're demonized. Yeah, they're going to say all those things. But what's most important? That you sit up under somebody that's lying to you, or that you make it into the kingdom of God by the Word of God because you're studying and reading the Word of God and you know the Word of God. And you have the Spirit of God down in you. You know that you're saved. You know that you're following the Word of God. That's what it's about. I'll say it like this. It's too much preaching going on. True preaching, you have Bibles everywhere. You have the Word of God preached day and night. There's no reason for anybody to be lost. There's no reason that anybody doesn't have any knowledge of the Word of God. Nobody in this country should be deceived when you got the Bible that you can reopen and read and study for yourself. For you can be like the Ephesians who constantly read and studied the Word of God for themselves. What did James say? James said if you lack wisdom, you can ask of God and he will give it to you liberally. If it's something you don't understand and you're a believer in God and you're saved, you pray to God, say, Lord, give me a revelation, an interpretation of your word, and he'll give it to you. Freely and liberally. You don't have to pay for it. Our Lord and Savior already did it for us on the cross. He was the word, and he gave us the word. And now we can study and grow in it. And prosper. Praise the Lord. It says, now, listen at this here. Listen at this. Therefore, before the interpretation, now, this is supposed to, I'm going to read a little more here. It says, teaches the critical method that virtually declares the identity and intentions of the author of a text are irrelevant to the interpretation of the text. Therefore, before the interpretation is given, there is really no meaning to the text but what one brings to the text or reads from it. And so this actually applies to any text or idea that's written. It says, traditionally and academically, biblical interpretation is overthrown and any type of systemization of information, systematic theology, is hostile to the framework of postmodernism. Postmodernists then tackle a type of biblical interpretation and a biblical theology Wherever theology would lead them over systematic theology, which sets certain undeniable lines and guides for historical orthodoxy. You see, they take the word, and then an interpretation of the word has nothing or strays away from the original meaning. So they'll take that word, they'll read that word, and they will interpret that word away from the original meaning of the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, they corrupt it. That's what postmodernism is. And it's dangerous, because the reason it's so dangerous is because sometimes you can't tell unless you know what it is. Unless you can identify with that, you don't know what it is, so you suck it in. It's like arsenic and powdered sugar. You don't realize that you're taking the arsenic because it looks just like the sugar, but it's not. So they'll take something that looks like the Word of God, maybe even sounds like the Word of God, but it is not the Word of God. And if you follow it, you'll be lost. Or if you're not lost, I say it like this, your spirit will be sincerely damaged. Your spirit man, your soul man, even your physical body will be damaged, and your soul, that mind, your psyche, is going to be damaged because you've been taken in poison, little bit by little bit, little bit by little bit. And if you don't get an antidote for that, which is the true Word of God, which is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, which is the things of God, you'll be damaged. You'll be damaged. Because postmodernism deals in skepticism, deals in doubt, and it also deals in the carnality of men. It's the kind of things that say, well, you can be saved and not have to repent. They'll say that, you know, you repent, but you don't really repent. You just say it, but you don't really repent. You don't really turn away from what's got you bound. You do a little light prayer, and then you go back out in the world. That's dangerous. Jesus said, don't do that. He told Mary, whom had seven devils, he told her, go and sin no more. He told a man that was lame for 38 years, he said, go and sin no more, lest a worser thing will come upon you. That's what Jesus said. So anybody that tells you you can be a Christian, or you can be saved, but you don't repent, you need to run from that, because that's a deception. It's a lie. It's postmodernistic. It's of the emergent mindset. And you won't grow in that. You won't grow like that. You won't grow in the things of God with that mindset, because you will not release the things that has you bound. Okay, I'm going to read some other things here. Now, as I was just talking about that, the effects of postmodernism can be seen in the church in a liberalism that infects the manner in which hermeneutics affects systematic theology and exegesis. As a hermeneutics, and exegesis is just reading the word, going by what the word says, line by line, precept by precept, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. That's all that's saying. And believing and exercising it and living it. Now, with postmodern theology of any kind, there's always the inherent characteristic of redefinition of the sake of clarity or relevancy. Postmodern theologians take old ideals, strip them of their meaning, reinvent these ideals with a type of cultural relevancy, and then pass them off as biblical teachings under the guise of a new paradigm shift that must take place due to change in times. You change with the times. The church got to change with the times. If the world is doing this, then the church is supposed to do it too. If the world is greedy for money, then the church needs to be greedy for money too. If the world is into getting a bunch of people in the stadium or in the numbers, then the church got to do it too. That's a shame. It's a shame. It's a crying shame. However, new angles usually represent old deviant ideas and heretical concepts repackaged as the truth. Postmodern liberalism does not have to deny all matters of the Christian faith. You see, here's the trick right here. It simply needs to take old orthodoxy and redefine it to mean something else, or something that they think is more relevant to the times. So we have to be careful of that. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read some scriptures here. It said we got to hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that we may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. That's Titus 1 and 9. Now, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had to rebuke Peter on some things because Peter's mind was set on something that was not in accordance to Christ. That's Mark 8:33. I'm going to read that for you, and then I'm going to go a different way. Now, when Jesus had to do what he had to do, he knew he had to go up on the cross. The apostles, the disciples at the time, they didn't want that to happen because they loved the Lord. And Peter took the Lord and he began to rebuke the Lord, saying, you know, something like, hey, Jesus, we don't want you to go up on that cross. You don't need to die. But when Jesus had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And that's all postmodernism is. The things of the world, the things of men, the emerging church, the things of men. And what did Jesus say? He rebuked them. So we have to do the same. We got to speak out against this stuff. It's because it's destroying whole families, whole communities. They're being destroyed by this stuff. That's what's happening in the church today. My Lord, it's like a spy in the camp. And that spy in the camp is pulling the enemy in, and he's destroying people sitting right up in the church. And it's a shame. It's a shame. And Jesus said, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters abroad. So if people are saying things contrary to the word of God and contrary to Christ Jesus, they are scattering abroad. They're not bringing people to the light of Jesus Christ. They're deceiving them. They're deceiving them. And if you're deceived and you don't have the right revelation of Jesus Christ and his word, you could very well be lost. I'm going to read a few more things, and then we will end it. But John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, Colossians 2:3, I'm going to read a little bit of the word to you here. But I'm not going to just talk on all of this, but I'm going to read this to you. Colossians 2:3 reads this way. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I'm going to read Colossians 2:2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Here it is, Colossians 2:3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's all you need. The word of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, all right, how should we respond to postmodernism? Understand, it's not new. It's justifying rebellion against God. That's postmodernism. Understand that it is an absurd contradiction, and its response to moral questions and what's true and false is wholly inconsistent. Understand, Christians must confront the absurdity of it on every level and wherever they find it. especially as it makes inroads into the family, the church, and state. We've got to come against this, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a grave threat to the cherished faith in Jesus Christ. It's imperative. It is imperative that we understand what it is, understand why it's dangerous, and understand how to refute it. We can't go along with this stuff. We have to stay in the Word of God. We have to know the Word of God. And the only way we're going to know it is to read it. Read it for yourself. Study it for yourself. If you don't have a full understanding of it, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal some things to you. Ask the Lord for wisdom. You don't have to be deceived. We got some horrible, horrid things happening in the church, in the church building. Where you used to could go and get set free, you're going and you're getting bound. You're going and you're getting bound up with something that you shouldn't be bound up with. Sometimes if you're not careful, you'll go to a church to get set free from a devil and you'll get a devil. That's not how it should be. But when you're going and you're listening to false doctrine, when you're believing lies, when you're not studying the Word of God, when you're not praying, when you're not asking the Lord will give you revelation. But you got to ask for it. The Lord will give you wisdom and knowledge. He will give you all the gifts of the Spirit. He will give you the fruit of the Spirit. He will give you everything to live a godly life. That's what he died on the cross for. So that you can live holy. That you can be obedient. That you can keep his words. That you can live the way Christ lived. What I'll say it like this. Yes, everybody has sinned and come short of the glory of God. But when you accept Jesus Christ, you don't have to be a sinner anymore. You don't have to live to sin. You don't have to be bound by the things of the world because of what Christ did. Thank you. Praise the Lord. We got 2 minutes left. I'm going to close out. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Yeshua, the Messiah of Nazareth, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the revelation of your word. And Father God, we thank you for the listeners. And Father God, we thank you for those that are standing up against false doctrine and lies. Father God, we ask right now that you continue to touch your people, your children, Father, the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We ask that you continue to touch their mind and deliver them, Lord, and set them free from everything that have them bound.
Yes.
Set them free, Father, in the name of Jesus. Touch their minds and their heart and give them full revelation of their word and give them strength, Lord, to flee from false teachers, from liars and false prophets. Let your spirit dwell in them, and let the gifts of your spirit manifest in them. Let the fruit of the spirit manifest in them, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Yes.
Touch them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Set them free, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
Now, we thank the Lord for everyone that was listening tonight. We pray that you all receive a blessing and receive some revelation of God's word and was helped in some way. We ask that you continue and you continue to listen to us. We, like I said earlier, we're here every Friday night at 8 o'clock. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.